Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Ebola in Liberia interview with the executive director of the Foundation for Community Initiatives. Liberia is a country where more deaths have been registered as a consequence of the Ebola outbreak hit in Western Africa, where also Guinea, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone are among the most affected. Over 1,400 people have died from Ebola this year in these four countries, and over 2,600 cases have been reported. Monrovia, capital of Liberia, is the area that has been affected the most. 10 days ago, Real World Radio received information that accounted for the seriousness of the situation in the country. Local communities are getting desperate after waiting 2 or 3 days for ambulances to help the people showing symptoms. People afraid of being infected with the Ebola virus walk to specialized health centers where they are requested to quarantine themselves in their own homes. Families with their dead relatives inside their houses are advised not to leave their homes or enter the room where their dead relative is. A nightmare. The Sustainable Development Institute, Friends of the Earth Liberia, the Foundation for Community Initiatives, Save My Future Foundation, and Social Entrepreneurs for Sustainable Development launched the Community Awareness and Support Team to try to slow down and reverse the spread of Ebola in Liberia. This is an emergency initiative that aims to distribute information about Ebola and hygiene supplies to around 10,000 people until September the 30th. Disinfectants, soap, and prevention kits are some of the things needed the most. The idea is supported on the grassroots work and the trust built among the founders of the initiative and local communities. Real World Radio interviewed Executive Director of the Foundation for Community Initiatives, Julie Wee, who highlighted the urgent need to raise awareness on the local communities of Liberia so that they understand the seriousness of the disease because there is some kind of denial among them. Let's now listen to the interview.
The FCI and other groups, what we really started to do was to do some initial awareness on the Ebola, just at the level of some of the communities where we work, because the situation took all of us by surprise. Before things got out of hand, we started to talk to some of our few staff to carry on some initial discussion with communities on the situation. As it stands now, we are now just gathering, we are now just preparing to do some intensive work, because all of us were taken by surprise on the outbreak. So we are preparing to do some intensive work. We have formed or set up a small civil society support team to reach out to some of our community people. And this is where we are now. At this stage, we are trying to rally some support, because the only thing we know that can actively happen is to help people with preventive measures, because all of us are aware that the issue of Ebola has become a global issue. It has no cure. We can only try to prevent it. So our initiative now is geared towards trying to rally support to help communities with preventive measures.
Okay, Julie, what are the most important things that the communities need right now to prevent getting this Ebola disease? In which things you are focusing more, trying to help the communities in the country?
Right now, the communities, what they need most is information, because we are faced with a situation of denial by some communities. So we need to provide more information to those communities to get them convinced, to get them to understand that what we are talking about now is real, and we have to prevent it. So the first thing is the information, massive awareness in the communities. If we don't do that, even if we just buy some of the materials, some other materials, they might not be used for the intended purpose. So we can go, we will also need to provide buckets. We need to provide chlorine, disinfectants. We need to provide soap for communities to have, so that they will at least be able to wash their hands on a regular basis. But if the communities are not convinced that this epidemic is real, the bucket might not help, because if you place a bucket and place all of the materials there, and it might not be used the way you want it to be used. So we really want to take massive awareness to those communities, provide them with visual aids, provide them with any form of information that can get them to really believe that this a virus exists. We are experiencing huge deaths, like you said, and one of the things that seems to be responsible for some of those deaths is the issue of denial. So we really have to keep against denial. Even in Montserrado, even in Monrovia, we still need a massive awareness to get people to understand that this thing is real.
Julie, according to what you are saying, and given the fact that we are so far away from there, trying to understand the situation in your country and with your people, and especially with the local communities, do you say that there is like a denial from the people, that they don't have very much information, and maybe they don't think that Ebola is a very strong and a disease which can cause even death? So we can say that this is happening in the country, and this is the most important thing, to raise this awareness so people really know that this is something very dangerous. Is that the situation there?
Yeah, to some extent that is the situation. We really need to inform. We need to take that massive awareness to people, so that they will understand that this is real. If we are able to get people to understand this is real, they will be able to practice the preventive method. So, but we want to do that both ways. We don't want to just go in, do an awareness, and then come back before we start to mobilize materials for prevention. So that's why we want to go in with all of the leader items. We go in with the materials, like I mentioned, the disinfectant, the buckets, the soap. And then we also go in with the visual aids on the Ebola virus, and try to do that. And, you know, if it means you might even have to do it house to house, or design the best method to get people to really believe that this thing is real. Because, I mean, it's sad, but it's something that we have to face, that there are places where people don't believe that this virus exists. People think that maybe it's a scam for someone to come and eat some money. So we need to be able to get our people to really understand what we are going through. Because what we are going through as part of the factors is our own level of denial. I'm not willing to accept that this thing is real. So if I don't accept that it's real, I will have no reason to even practice the preventive method. So massive awareness is really something that we need to do. And that's what as the initiative that we have set up, that's what we really want to do. We really want to do massive awareness supported by the provision of these materials for people who will be able to get to convince them. We can be able to supply, and we hope that the things will improve in the next month to come.
Okay, Julie, do you have an update and number of the people which is suffering Ebola right now in the country and the people that have already died? We presented some numbers at the beginning of the interview, but there are numbers which are from August 16th. Do you have an update about that?
I think the last figure we had was around, up to this morning, is like 600 plus from Liberia. 600 plus from Liberia. And because there were figures still coming from other countries, other counties rather. But in the figure around West Africa is like 1,200 plus, or 1,200 plus. But from Liberia up to this morning, we got a figure around 600 plus and around 200 plus are confirmed cases.
Okay, Julie. I would like to know, there are so many questions coming to my head right now, trying to get a bigger picture about what's happening in Liberia. Are there regions which are suffering more the Ebola disease right now? Is it happening? Is it something which is happening all over the country? What can you tell us about that?
Personally, Monrovia, which is the capital, is the worst. It's where we have huge cases. There are cases in other parts of the country, in other countries. But for Monrovia is where you have things happening. And next to Monrovia, there are cases that have been recorded in other counties like Nimba, Banga, Bone County. Because even now in Monrovia, they have quarantined two communities. That's where the outbreak was had.
Okay, Julie. And what about the work of the civil society organizations? We are talking with you, which you are the executive director of the Foundation for Community Initiatives. We know also that the Sustainable Development Institute, Friends of the Earth Liberia, is working on the ground. Are there any other organizations, social movements, whatever, which is working on the field, on the ground, with the communities? And also a question about what is the role being played by the government? Is the government doing this massive awareness work that you are saying is needed, Julie?
I think the government has admitted to the fact that they have been overwhelmed by the situation. So whatever is happening now, it's not adequate. The situation has overwhelmed the government. The kind of awareness that we're talking about now, the government will not be able to provide that awareness because we don't have the capacity to do that. There are other civil society groups that are also trying to get involved into this whole awareness process. Like you mentioned, the SDI, we have groups like Save My Future Foundation. We also have groups like the Green Advocates. We have they have a working group called the Concession Working Group. So different civil society platforms at their own level now have seen that the situation has overwhelmed the government, and so they are beginning now to get involved into this whole awareness thing because the government will not be able to do it. The government will not have the capacity to do it. The situation has overwhelmed the government.
Okay, Julie, and what about the role being played by the international community? Has the country received any kind of help from abroad? What kind of things and help you think that the communities in your country especially need right now?
In terms of support, the government has been able to receive some donations, like from China. The government received some donations in the tune of 1.7 million. And the items included protective gear for health workers. And the United States Embassy has also been helping the government, especially according to the U.S. Embassy. They provided 14 million. And then they also recently airlifted some protective gear, some water tankers. I guess will be supplied to isolation centers. One of the things that we need now, we still need those protective gear because there are hospitals that have closed, and the reason is that they don't have enough protective gear to give to their health workers, so they don't want to put their health workers at risk. So we still need additional protective gear because up to present we haven't gotten any clear report as to how the donations have been distributed, but people are still appealing for more donations in terms of protective gear. Then on the other hand, communities have been quarantined, and those communities, people are not allowed to move outside of those communities. Definitely, we know that there will be some crisis in terms of food, in terms of medication, in terms of other basic social services. So those quarantine communities now are requesting that they get a food ration. Currently, what has been going into the communities is inadequate. So communities need food. They need food because if you quarantine them, they don't have the means to go out to fend for their families. Then you have to provide their needs. So, I mean, donations, international donations around food, for example, Nigeria, our staple food is rice. If we can get some donations around there, that it will boost the efforts of the government. And one of the things that have come up is that there has been calls for the government to outsource the process and play a monitoring role. People were suggesting that the Red Cross or MSF be given the entire process to handle, and then the government play a monitoring role. But those are things now that if they are not addressed, we don't know what might happen because those communities might get angry and then start to get out of hand because they keep complaining that the things that have been provided with currently are insufficient. Even at the isolation centers, people are also complaining of inadequate supplies, inadequate support. So we think that international community needs to do more. We want to call on them to do more than what they're doing now. We appreciate what they've done, but we think that they need to do more. And it's also good that we have those donations in kind, because sometimes people are not so good with cash. So we'd rather to get donations, right? Basic food supply, I mean, those are things that will really help in this situation because the communities are being quarantined and they will need those supplies to survive since we don't know how long we're going to go through this.
Okay, Julie, would you like to add any other information, or you maybe would like to say something which I didn't ask you about and you consider it's important to strengthen in this very particular and difficult moment, Julie?
Yeah, what we want to say is that it's so unfortunate because as it is now, Syria is at a standstill. Nothing is happening. Work cannot go on actively. Those of us who are working with NGOs, who are working with communities, we cannot access those communities freely. It's a sad thing that we have to go through this. And we hope that things can improve. We hope that a more coordinated international effort is galvanized. I think there's a need now for a more coordinated international effort to help Liberia to solve this problem, because the problem has overwhelmed our entire government. We don't have the capacity, and so they cannot just leave us to fight this thing alone. They have to help us to fight this situation. Because if we don't address it sooner, we don't want to say what might happen, because we have people start to run out of basic commodities, people have start to run out of food, our jobs will be terminated, and then we go back to the situation we have when we had the 14 years of crisis, and we hope we don't want to go back to that level. So we think the international community needs to coordinate their efforts and ensure that this situation comes to an end.
Okay. It was Julie Wea, the executive director of the Foundation for Community Initiatives, working very closely on the ground with the communities, trying to face this very hard situation caused by the Ebola virus in Liberia. Julie, all the solidarity from Real World Radio, from Friends of the Earth International, and we'll keep in touch trying to get the information about what is happening there in your country. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.